All right, John Herdman, after the emotional loss to Belgium, where he obviously felt very good about the way his team played, as he should, yeah, was asked immediately, and he's still all fired up. Hey, what'd you tell the team? Like, what was the reaction, and what kind of message did you send moving forward to Croatia on Sunday?
I just showed them the stats. I just showed them they belong here. Told them they belong here. And we're going to go on F Croatia. That's as simple as it gets.
So
nothing wrong with that. That's not like Masai's Brooklyn one or anything like that. It was that's as polite as you can get, isn't it?
Do you guys think that was bulletin board material? I don't. I mean, he's emotional, saying, "Hey, we played well. Let's go and play them hard."
I'm guessing he'd prefer to take that back publicly. You know, I think what he actually did there was he was 100% honest. Like, how many times have we all been in the room, you guys more than I? Well, that's exactly what a coach would say. You know, we're going to kill these guys. We're going to get them. Like, who's Croatia? We don't care about Croatia. What, are you going to reference their world ranking and say, well, they were in the World Cup final 4 years ago. We should be scared. Like, of course that's your attitude. Privately. I think what makes it a story is he said it immediately publicly. And then Croatian media caught wind of it and said, we better go down and catch up with Johnny Herdman and see what he can say to us or were willing to tell us about it the day after. And here's what Herdman had to say in response to the kind of poking and prodding from the Croatian media.
In that moment, you know, you're taking your men to that next place. You're taking your team to that next place that we're here to be fearless and to bring everything we've got to that game. So, yeah, I mean, no disrespect to the Croatian team and Croatian people, but at the end of the day, it's a mindset that Canada's going to have if we're going to have 3 points against one of the top teams in the world.
All right, let's head over to Qatar. Here's our man on the scene. Here's Matthew Schinetti. Is this a big story over there, like the Croatian media? Like, what are we dealing with here, Herdman's comments from yesterday and bulletin board material for Croatia? Are you buying that, Matthew?
Hayes is the guy who asked John Herdman the question yesterday on the field, pretty innocuously, I thought, because I saw him obviously bring his team together after that disappointing loss to Belgium. Knowing John Herdman's messaging, knowing how much his players buy into it. And it's funny because you think of all the things around Canada from a soccer perspective, and you're experiencing so many new, well, not new, I mean, Canada has been in the World Cup before, but the emotions and the positivity around Canadian men's soccer. So a lot of these things, I mentioned on the broadcast about the sword, the literal sword he has his team stick in the ground before games, this confidence that they have, this new Canada mentality. And then what you heard yesterday from Herdman saying F Croatia, that wasn't like, I'm not going to say that's by design, but that's not an isolated incident. I was speaking to midfielder David Wotherspoon, who plays in Scotland, who plays for a team in St. Johnstone, who has won trophies in Scotland despite the powerhouses of Rangers and Celtic. And he told me a couple days ago, yeah, we're here to F things up. I mean, you're absolutely right. You guys are bang on in saying this is the kind of coach speak that happens in the locker room that you rarely get to hear publicly. And everyone knows kind of quietly that it happens. But it's a big story because he said it about Croatia. And I've got Croatian fans coming after me on social media because I asked the question, and this sense of hierarchy and respect that must be paid to the world powers in soccer. And John Herdman, as he said there in the clip you guys played, it really doesn't matter. Like, we have to have this mentality. We absolutely respect Luka Modric and what he's done and being the Ballon d'Or winner, nearly leading his country to a World Cup title in Russia 4 years ago. But we can't go there kissing his feet. We're there to kick his butt or, you know, use whatever colorful language that you want. John Herdman is a master motivator, and sure, will I accept that he was passionate in the moment? Absolutely. But I will also say that nothing he does isn't by design.
Did the comment make waves, though, Matthew? I mean, when a superpower country in football and maybe a star player in that country made those comments or their coach, it would be so much more powerful. Like, did it really make waves? Did it get people's attention, you think, the comment? I actually don't think that. I think it was like a, you know, a PG version of what you would normally say. I didn't think it was that big a deal. But how many waves do you think it made?
Zlatko Dalic, who's the head coach, O-Dog, said after his availability today, he understood what John Herdman was saying, but he also said basically that he felt it was unnecessary, that the game is going to be played on the field. John Herdman's kind of new to this, too. I mean, he's the first man to lead a women's and men's team to a World Cup. And, you know, Canada has made waves here. I can tell you that what they did last night against Belgium turned a lot of heads, not because I don't think anyone was expecting Belgium to just roll over Canada, but given the fact that Canada had a penalty so early and then had it saved and should maybe have had another one and kept taking the game to Belgium, and if not for one mistake, Canada, at the very least, you would think would have tied that game, and the Belgian players were certainly respectful afterwards, and to take it up another notch and to, I won't say call out, but to put a statement of intent down, yeah, it's certainly perked a lot of people up over here. Yeah, to say it's made waves, well, when it comes on the day that Brazil is about to play, when Ronaldo scores in his fifth straight World Cup, the first men's player to do that, it's not on that same level, because I'm not saying it still is Canada, but we're still now in the round robin, and every team is kind of jockeying for position in terms of attention. But undoubtedly, John Herdman, you know, and having Chris Hadfield, the astronaut, there, and knowing last night the kind of statement his team was making, and having Thibaut Courtois, the best goalkeeper in the world who plays for Belgium, go up to Canadian players afterwards and say, yeah, you guys deserve more from this game. To top that off with a comment about, yeah, we're, you know, F Croatia, here we come. Yeah, it's definitely made waves.
You mentioned you had comments from Croatians on social media. How about the reporters over there, the Croatians? Were they giving you the side eye where you're going to have to defend yourself face to face? I mean, are you taking some of the blame just for asking some of the question? I didn't think that was a bad question or anything, leading the witness.
No, you know, Noodles, so Janine Becky and I were in Canada's media center today, and we were actually sitting in front of the gentleman who asked the question from the Croatian media, and I went ahead afterwards and I asked Kamal Miller, I said, you know, Kamal, did you see that as disrespectful or as part of John Herdman's messaging? And those around who saw the gentleman behind me as soon as I asked that question, apparently he didn't like it too much and kind of gave me a was staring holes in the back of my head, apparently, from those around. So it's, there are always going to be, and what you tend to hear when, you know, this is my first experience covering a World Cup, what you tend to hear is reporters saying we and ours and taking ownership of their teams, and you could hear that in the way that the reporter was framing the question, and I don't go ahead and judge him harshly for doing that. But when you have when you know that Croatia took so much pride in its accomplishment in getting to the World Cup final, yes, losing to France in 2018, there's a lot of pride in that country. And knowing when they, you know, from afar, and those in Qatar as well, watching the Canadian head coach do what he did and say what he said, and then Canadian media kind of, I won't say justify, but kind of say to players, hey, listen, do you want to explain this? Is this disrespectful, or is this just part of the messaging? These guys aren't around this team all the time. All they see is, well, Canada's in the World Cup. This team, you know, they won't know that Canada was 72nd in the world 4 years ago when Croatia was making the World Cup final. But they don't see Canada as significant. They certainly, as I said before, will have been perked up by what Canada did against Belgium. But Croatia's not going in thinking that, oh, goodness, you know, we're going to have all these problems with Canada. This new Canada mentality is John Herdman saying, listen, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get people's attention by being brash and different. And being brash and different from the sensible way, at least outside of other the recognized sports that Canada dominates, like hockey, where we're known for toughness and grittiness on the ice. When it comes to the soccer field, yeah, Canadians don't have a reputation like that. John Herdman and his team are trying to build it.
We're chatting with Matthew Schenetti in Qatar, Canada, Croatia on Sunday. Any idea of lineup changes, formation changes, game plan changes? What do you think happens between now and kickoff on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, a lot of people are being introduced, Hayes, to really the short timeline that you have. But here's the benefit that Canada has in this World Cup as opposed to other ones. In other World Cups, if you're in a country, you'd be traveling today. And that adds to your recovery day. And the side effect of that, though, is they're staying in Doha at their home base, but it is always hot here. It's always sunny and always hot. And I was there today, and players are going through what they call quote-unquote regeneration and recovery and just doing stretching and running. There's going to be some concerns. And I take a look at Milan Borjan, who has been dealing with an abdominal injury since Canada's last friendly against Japan before the World Cup. He was grimacing while the play was at the other end, kind of stretching out his stomach as much as he could. And Tejon Buchanan, who, like Richie Larea, like Alistair Johnston, like Kamal Miller, all of these guys who were, as John Herdman said today, you know, were raising their measurables and all of the physical checks that that he and his staff do, that they kept pushing them upwards. I mean, Tejon Buchanan went down with severe cramp towards the end of the game, and while the game was back in Canada's half, he was still trying to recover and get up. So Herdman, again, being the master motivator, talks about raising levels again, but there's a lot of work that's going to have to be done before Sunday afternoon when Canada plays about 7 o'clock local time. And you're talking about hydration, you're talking about stretching, you're talking about getting them ready for the fact that, you know, unlike when they played Japan, sure, they had about a week or just a little over a week before they played Belgium in their first World Cup game. All of the energy that they had at the start of that game against Belgium, they have to bring in what is essentially, sure, it's not, you know, lose and go home. You know, if they get a draw, it may not necessarily be the end of their World Cup. But the fact is, you know, they have to go out and approach Croatia, not with a similar game plan, but with the same kind of intensity. But you saw the way that John Herdman went to his bench. Does Kyle Larin get the start? He came off the bench. There's a young player like Ismail Kone, who has played so well for CF Montreal and seemed fearless with English teams wanting to come after him in the transfer window. Does he start for Atiba Hutchinson, who's only essentially played three games this year, is 39 years old, an incredible accomplishment getting to the World Cup, but that kind of load to play that high intensity level yet again? And do we see Jonathan Osorio come out, Sam Adekubi? Canada has impact players, and John Herdman is, you speak to those who played under him, especially with the women's team, they talk about how much of a plan he has. I suspect that he might have a lineup change or two, only because of the intensity level that his players played with against Belgium and have to play again against Croatia.
Matthew, before we get you out of here quickly, Duthie posted a picture like in the desert with the sun behind him.
Oh, with on the camera.
No, hang on a sec. You love snapping a pic of yourself too. How did he do on that? And who took that pic? Like, what did he? Does he have to say to like a friend, like Puffy or somebody, make sure you get the sun, make sure you get the desert, and make sure you get me on my phone and make it look natural? Give me the background behind that, and how did he do with the pic?
Okay, so I can't give you the background on that particular picture, but I can give you the context around it, because earlier in our trip here, including Puffy, we all went out to and Lindsay Hamilton. We all did basically the same thing
look
that James did
guy.
Today. He wasn't here.
What a hero.
He was on his own, or I don't think he was on his own. He might have been with the executives and just going ahead and being James Duthie, a man about town and of the world. And yes, you know, it is a bit of a camel trek. You get on there, and it is a very jolting experience. But they basically they lead you up a sand dune, and then they lead you down, and a lot scarier going down than it is coming up that sand dune. But the crazy thing is that I want to know, having as you out me there, oh dog, yes, I did take a picture of myself on it, although it was a very scary experience. It was driving in the sand dunes. You know, we would have loved to have had all three of you boys there, because to have some of our very, very trusted local guides take us through the sand dunes in their 4x4s. I mean, I love a good roller coaster, but this was insane. And the picture I want to know for the experience I want to know from Duthie is how much, if he was willing to go as crazy as we went, because I can tell you, Puffy and I we enjoy just being spun around and flipped all over the place. I don't know, though, about James, but clearly we heard that he desperately wanted to be on the Camel, and he had a big smile being on that Camel.
Oh, what a pick.
Well, we appreciate it, buddy. It's a great pick. And just a quick note, you guys are all doing an unbelievable job. I know that's a big project. There's a lot of airtime. There's a lot of hours. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for all what you guys are doing over there. Everyone's looking and doing fabulously. Thank you, Matthew.
Appreciate you, boys.
You got it. There he is, Matthew Schinetti. And as he said, there's some big shooters over there just hanging around as well. So you got to.
Dude,
make
I just
sure
don't understand. Like, Duffy's 58 years old, and what did he say to Puffy? Can you get the sun? Like, make sure you get the sun.
Angles.
Look at this guy. What does he think? He's Drake? Is that Drake on top of the CN Tower?
That does honestly look like it looks like a Pink Floyd album cover or something.
It does. The other one with him on the Camo, he's got the tricep flex too. You can tell he's got the microphone.
Tight shirt.
Did our colleagues love the Camel pics, didn't they? Like, that hit the gram so fast when they saw that Camel, they were like, they were in shock, and they went to the gram immediately.
It was a race to Instagram. Racing to Instagram.
Yeah.
Would you guys do it?
I'd do it. Yeah, I'd give it a shot. Sure. I'd be a little bit nervous about, my Camel taking off and you're out in the desert or something. Like, that would be concerning. You get a rogue Camel and you'll never see me again.
Yeah, but I'd give it a shot. I feel like a Camel would bite me. Like, animals don't like me. A Camel would bite me for sure. And don't they spit and slobber everywhere and stuff too?
It's a domesticated wild animal, which is an oxymoron, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just that's what you do.
You're not up on your Camel behavior, are you?
I'm not necessarily up on my Camel.
Look at that
behavior.
Picture of Ducky.
Look at this guy.
Looks great.
It is.
They look great.
Those Camels are
They're doing
huge,
a great job.
Though. They're huge.
Yeah, they are. No, they're doing a great job over there in Canada, Croatia on Sunday.